Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Welcome to Talk Straight. My name is Minister Ricky Waller, and on behalf of Pastor Dockery, in his absence, we just thank God for all of you who are tuned in. I trust something may be said or some question may be asked, and the answer to the question may be revealed in such a way where you would be able to embrace and be so thankful. We just want to thank everyone that's tuned in right now. And for those who desire to call in to talk, we give you the number by way of saying 657-383-0944. We praise God for you. We thank God that this is the day that He has made. He tells us to rejoice and to be glad in it. So we want to take time out right now to verify what we have dealt with on just last Tuesday, about having a testimony and what your testimony could mean to someone else. We just want to encourage you by knowing that you're not ashamed of your testimony. However, tonight, we will continue the second half. And it would be how I overcame my contribution to urban America. Glory to God. So we praise God once again for you. And we will come up with a scripture, if you don't mind, according to the book of Psalms 119, in verse number 129. And it reads, it said, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doeth my soul keep them." Glory to God. What that means to me is that I am not ashamed of being able to say I would keep my testimony because it's so wonderful to know that God has given me my testimony. How about you, caller? We just want to welcome you again to Talk Straight. We trust that you would make a call, and in your making a call, we would be positioned to talk with you, to have the dialogue. Glory to God. With you or anyone who desires a call, I know you have a testimony. You don't want to keep it to yourself, so we thank you for having an opportunity in your heart to call in. We would be so ever blessed to have this dialogue with you. And again, on behalf of Pastor Dockery, in his absence, as he continued to travel on the road to do the will of God, we pray the traveling grace upon him as I just spoke with him not long ago, and he's doing okay. Amen. But remember,
hi,
the
Pastor
scripture
Wallace.
Again. Yeah, uh-huh. How you
we
doing?
We have a caller, sorry. We have a caller
last word to just 1098, just wanted to invite them to the conversation.
All right, praise God. 1098, all right. Welcome to Talk Straight, my brother.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you calling in, man. We just want to continue to be a blessing to the hearers and especially to those that would do what it is that can be done concerning a testimony. We talked about it on last Tuesday and how a person can utilize their testimony to help others now. And we just want to elaborate on that, if you will. I came from the scripture in Psalms 119, verse 129. It says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doeth my soul keep them." Amen. It's amazing, you know, that I have been reminded that our soul should keep the testimony, meaning you have to continue to walk in it, what God has done for you. Talk to us about that, brother, what God has done for you and how you would love to extend to others by way of being a good example of what God have done in your life and what he's capable of doing and why you continue to trust in him. Amen. That's the three-part kind of question that I like to ask. You know, so talk to us about that.
Well, you know, I sum it all up into just one. You know, he has allowed to let me live all these years that I have lived. And I enjoy life through him. Mm-hmm. I've made great strides. I've accomplished and did things that I thought of, really.
My goodness. That's awesome right there.
No, I'm serious, you know. But
yeah, that's good.
You know, so, you know, again, he has allowed me to live all these years that I've lived. I don't know how many more years would be granted to me, but if I had to go back and change my life, I wouldn't change a thing. Because if I changed anything, I wouldn't have learned anything. I've been enjoying every bump, bruise, and grind. You know,
my.
Been good. You know,
my goodness.
I really. And a lot of people say, well, I'll go back. If I could go back, I'd change this. I'd change that. Wouldn't change a thing.
Man, I like you because they sure will say that.
I got the experience hanging on. You know, a lot of.
See, that's awesome. I like how you put that too. You know, you say you wouldn't change a single thing because had you not went through that, you wouldn't have been able to have the wonderful testimony as I know the scripture is talking about in Psalms 129. You know, and I think about that according to Psalms 119. It said in verse 129, it just gave you your props, basically, is what it's doing, and when it says your testimonies are wonderful, you know, therefore do my soul keep them. And so in other words, you know, looking back over how good he's been, you summed it all up. You said, man, he even does some things that you was amazed yourself.
In past times, I was in situations to where I was supposed to have been dead. But, you know, I look back and I said, man, something or somebody was with me, you know.
Listen to that, man. And see, if somebody's tuned in, they would love, I'm sure, to know that must have been evidence in your life that made you realize that you wouldn't have changed a thing. Because had you looked back and say, if I could change something, what would I change? And then nothing. You say not a single thing. And that's really, you know, something that I'm sure God can be pleased with, because he wouldn't get his props, you know, if we went back and changed something ourselves. So, that's great.
I say all the time, once I got myself together and, you know, started trusting in God, you know, there was a lot of doors were open, especially my mind. You know, I mean, it was and it stated, you know, I went on to do a lot of things that I never thought that I could do myself.
Listen,
but,
listen. All right.
You know, hey, you know, when I turned myself over to him, you know, like I said, I was in a jail cell. You know, it wasn't a minister or a chaplain or anyone talking to me. The only thing that I had at night when those doors locked, at 10 o'clock, doors locked, I had my Bible. And I started Genesis, and I went to Revelation, you know.
Yes, sir.
There's something, too, that I never even dreamed or even thought about.
Yeah, things you never even dreamed or even thought about. Man. Go ahead.
And a lot of, you know, and a lot of it weighs heavy on my mind, you know. I was so enthused with that until I went on into the seminary for a while, you know.
I think you had a good attitude, huh?
I mean, that's something that I never thought about, something that I never dreamed of. I never dreamed that I would be walking up into a seminary, you know, studying and things and that nature, you know.
Right. That's, I guess that is
and
a part
I was
of
hungry. Yeah, I was hungry for that knowledge. You know, I wanted more knowledge. You know, I had a strong hunger for it, you know, even though I – you know, have a degree in another field, you know.
Right.
My mind still goes back there, you know. Sooner or later, you know, I may go back. But, you know, I mean, one step at a time, you know. One step at a time.
You know, I got a whole lot out of that when you said the excitement must have overwhelmed you because you wanted more, you desired more
right.
after you, like, amazed by it. I mean, it had to be something on the inside of you that caused you to hunger for this. That's what you're saying. Is that correct? So
right, you know, just reading, reading, studying, you know, studying the Word of God, you know, all the different things that were occurring and things in that nature, you know, I just wanted to move forward and get more, you know.
Man, a lot of people. Goodness, go ahead, brother. And you were saying a lot of people would?
You know, a lot of people shy away from it, don't want to hear it. And I tell a lot of people, I said, look, man, people talk about books. I said, but, that Bible, once you get into that and study it, start studying that, that's the best book that was ever printed.
Yes.
You know?
That's what Yeah,
I mean, it has everything in it, you know.
Right, right. And you say some people are shying away from it, and this is what I like. What do you do when you recognize you have received the knowledge from the will of God and you appreciate it so much that you don't mind telling others, and then when they shun away from it, what does that do for you? I mean, when you think about knowing that you just said when you study that, I mean, you just hunger for it even more because you begin to learn more things and what's in it is like everything you need. And then when someone shun away from it, what do you get out of that, man? Because I've experienced that. I want to just see what you get out of that and how do you handle it once they shun away from it.
You know, I've in past times I've gotten a lot of negative comments. It was one guy, you know, he told me once, he said, man, before I bow down to your God, I cut both my legs off. I said, guess what? Your legs are already gone, sir. Legs are already gone.
Yeah, you know? Man. Even when you're walking around, they're already gone because you don't have them to stand on, basically what you're saying. You know,
exactly.
And it's amazing that one would say that. And to just go back into what you said, I mean, I was just overwhelmed with joy while you were speaking it. And then I discovered in that next verse he was talking about the entrance of thy word giveth light. I mean, the entrance, that means that it had to be that inner man that was lit up, you know. And then it says, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. Man, look at here. That right there to me, what you were saying, it was that light, when it hit the inner man, it caused you to get even more eager to learn more about it, man, and what else you can get from the Word of God. Not that you was being greedy, but you was being greedy respectfully. I want more of this. You know what I mean?
It's
good for me. It's helping me. And so why wouldn't I desire more of it? Because you got everything you need in it. And that, to me, is what I see here when you say something about you wanted more, and that's the interest of the word, give it life, and it give it understanding,
right.
You know, unto the simple, which is what we were at the time and it still is that, man, we just didn't know it. And you was in awe when you received it. Glory to God. That's tough. And then check this out.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it says, I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. I mean, that's where it seemed like that hunger just increased. You know, that's what it just seemed
yeah.
like. Yeah, man. So if we can get, you know, people to recognize that's what we really desire. We desire more. And there's nothing wrong with desiring more of it because it has so much to offer. So yeah, what you was about to say, some things, you know, talk to us, man. If somebody is listening, I just want you to understand we're talking about, you know, the power of a testimony that we can be able to be witnesses that would cause others to at least desire it. You know, David did say, one thing I desire of the Lord is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So it sounds like I'm not there, but I sure have a desire to. And that sounds like what we're talking about tonight, about having more and more of what he has to offer. Talk to us continually about that,
Father,
man. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to introduce another caller we have here online to the conversation. Okay. Last 4 digits, 8112.
All right, 8112. Yes, welcome to Talk Straight. We desire to have you come on in and talk to us.
Thank
who
you
we're
so
talking
much.
To.
I was enjoying what he was saying. It was very inspiring because it is what it is. He lived his life and he's still living his life, and he went from negative to a positive.
Yeah, that's something to get excited about.
That's the beauty and the joy of it all. When you can go from a negative to a positive,
that's
awesome. And he sounds like a very humble guy, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a great hunger. That's a great hunger to know that one can come from that, you know, and then receive and say, I'd like to have more of it. And
and to be as humble as he is with it, that's wonderful.
Right. You know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting more of it. You see, it's not, and we was talking about being greedy, you know, it wasn't the case. It was being greedy respectfully because he has so much to offer. And the Lord knows that, you know, we have a right to add to our faith and increase in our learning. And that's what he was talking also about when others shun from him, why he's expressing that. You know, what do you do? Because there are times when you have to deal with that, and does it give you a bad feeling? Does it make you feel bad? Does it make you want to stop telling people? I mean, you know, talk to us about that. You know, when you have a testimony, you know God has been good to you, and you don't mind sharing it with others, but if they shun you, like, I don't want to hear nothing about you, you know. That's what he said again. He didn't want to hear anything about that. God cut off both of my legs before I bow down to that gospel you're talking about, or that God that you're talking about. And he already said, well, you already lost your leg even while you're walking because you don't have anything to stand on. Man, that right there.
He never stand on already, because if he did, he wouldn't have made such a comment.
That's right.
Yeah, but you
know
what, though? Let me give you another interesting thing about people. You know, when I was in prison, you know, before they stopped prisoners from going to college, you know, American Baptist College was coming out, right? Okay, now you had all these guys on the compound. They running around every time you see them. They got their Bibles in their hands every time someone come out and hold a church service. They go down, and a lot of them, you know, they had went as far as sewing crosses in their prison church. You know, so we go to college. It was 10 of us in there, right? 10 of us in the class. Okay,
all right.
When the professor was asking questions and things of that nature, I was the only one answering, right? So after one class, guy came up to me and told me, he said, I don't never see you in a church service. And then you know what I told him? I said, get behind me, Satan. You know what I mean? I said, get behind me. I said, you know, I'm not like you all. Y'all run around trying to get attention to men and things of that nature. I said, when class time comes, all nine of y'all that came up in here flogging, I said. You know, just get behind me.
Yeah, that happens too. That really
get behind me. But that's the audacity of a people, you know, and there's a lot of things I never forget. And that's one of the things that I would never forget, you know, when I was incarcerated. You know, I mean, people, they talk about men and women, you know, returning, you know, coming in and out of prison.
Right.
There's a lot to that, you know.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to change the subject or nothing like that, but it's a lot to that. But, you know, the thing is, I just had to tell him. I'm not like you hypocrites, you know.
Yeah, I was about
behind
to say
me.
That.
You know, I don't get behind me, you know.
Yeah,
and guess what?
What's happening?
Now, listen to this. Right, now listen to this. Before that semester was over, guess how many people were left in class? Guess how many?
Man.
Only one. Only one. Me. I was the only one standing.
Well,
only one left. But yet and still, I wasn't running around, you know, flogging, as one would say, trying to get attention of people, you know? But the thing is this, I go back to this. What does the scripture say? Study. Show yourself approved.
That's right, brother. That's right. And then Jesus himself called folks hypocrites because if they was just pretending to be something that they wasn't, that means they were deceiving themselves. And I like that when he said something about people honor them with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. And so you got Bible toters. I mean, they do that a lot even in church today. And what threw me off was when I was young and dumb and ignorant and didn't know any better, I seen a lot of that going on in church. And so I thought everybody who was carrying the Bible knew the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Because I was in there without one. And what happened to man, the preacher said, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so one day I heard the word and I started to apply what I heard. So I knew that quoting the Bible, it's not like you're going to really know something because you're quoting the Bible. It's just like, you know, you're quoting the Bible.
Right.
You don't know anything about what's in the Bible. And I didn't want to do that, man. I didn't even pick one up. I just kept listening. And I was studying what I was hearing. So that's accurate what you just said. And Jesus himself, I found out that he called folks hypocrites when they was pretending like that, man. It's not good. It's not good at all.
Exactly. See, what they were doing, you know, like Jesus, when Jesus spoke about the guy standing out in front of the gate, you know, praying and things of that nature, you know, that was hypocritical action. You know what I'm saying? He said, when you pray, go into your closet. Therefore, you don't let the left hand know what the right hand was doing. Even when I first got over into the Bible and started reading it, I wasn't sitting out in that pod on that metal table reading it so everyone can see me. When those doors locked at 10 o'clock, that's when I began to read. And actually, no one knew that I was reading. You know, I wasn't trying to get brownie points or anything of that nature. But when I got over into the New Testament and I read that, I said, wow, okay, I was on point all the time. I wasn't telling people what I was doing. You know, no one knew that I was reading.
Yeah, you had a heart that was personal, man, and that's what we need more of. You know, the personal relationship, a lot of times depend on the unity. You know, the word says, and then we'll go to a break for a minute if we got something that I think we continue to talk about it, if we have a song to render or a break to take. And we will do that. But the word does say how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. So if the nine people along with yourself came into the study with unity, then it wouldn't have been no pretending, hey, I got a Bible in my hand, I'm going to be flogging. You know, they would have been like, okay, I need to find out what this Bible says. You know what I mean? And so
right.
You walking in power, one accord, and things like that. But man, when I seen that happen in church, man, that kind of got to me, brother, because some people still carrying the Bible, but still don't do what they say. And that's been many years that's going to come and go, man. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. So let's take a break this week and come back and we'll continue to talk about that. In case we got a song or something to be rendered, and if not, we got calls from
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Interrupting. Just wanted to ask you from the break. Welcome to new callers. who's joining in the conversation. Last four digits 3122, and caller last
three,
four
eight.
Digits 488.
4688. You say 4688. Okay, glory to God. Well, welcome to Talk Straight. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you have any questions or comments? We were talking about a testimony, and we know that if you happen to have one yourself, sound like someone that I know, glory to God, just called in. So I'm sure you got a testimony. So talk to us about how good God has been to you, and do you want to keep your testimony to yourself, or do you like sharing it with others?
Yeah, I like to give a testimony. I just need a second to put it all together. You was about to do a scripture. Let's hear that.
Yeah, okay. The scripture that I was about to read is, it says here, according to Psalms 119 and verse 133, it says, order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. And so that's why I say he's an on-time God, because when I put my life in his hand, he started to order my steps at that point, and he was able to do it on time. So what do you think about that? Order my steps. In his
well,
word.
As long as you believe, yeah, I believe that, you know, as long as you believe that, you know, God got your back, everything's going to be all right.
Praise
and,
God.
That's the way I live my, that's the way I live my life. And I live my life where, you know it's going to work out. So all I do is just, you know, just keep it moving. Keep it moving and trust him.
Okay.
And I know it's going to be okay.
Praise God, as long as you trust him. You say you keep it moving and you know that everything's going to work itself out. Is that because of the order that you say that you know everything's going to be all right when you believe and trust in him? Glory to God.
And I think
that's outstanding. And I'm glad that you shared that, because he loved to do things decently and in order, you know. And we was talking earlier about, you know, how when he did change us, he said some people, the brother was saying earlier, that some people would say, man, if I could just go back and over my life, I would change certain things. But then he put emphasis on it, and he wouldn't change a single thing because it would tamper with the testimony. Amen. And so I appreciate that. And glad that you made a call in, and you can always remember that any time you desire to say something, you can stick with us, and we're going to continue to press forward and believe that there are other people that would be tuned in that have a heart to desire to change but don't know how. What would you tell that person that have a heart and a desire to change but just don't know how? Would you give them something from your testimony and say, look, this is what took place in my life? Could you pinpoint anything and bring forth that just in case someone is listening?
But, you know, as I think about my life, you know, he's always had my back. Like, I put myself in so many dangerous situations.
My goodness.
And he just always had me. You know, I always got away, and I always been all right, you know, got better.
All right.
I'm just so thankful for that. So thankful.
Well, that's outstanding. I mean, dangerous.
I mean, most of us, you know, we started out going to church, you know, when we was kids.
That's correct.
And, you know, he's just like he was always in his book.
Yeah.
You know, so even when we went out there and did it, whatever we did,
mm-hmm.
you know, he had us. He had us.
Yeah,
he
so
wasn't
going
to let nothing happen to us. You know, he just gave us lessons. You know, and he gave me a lot of lessons. You know, and when I speak now, you know, to my daughters, you know, I let them know, you know, it's not, you know, what everybody else do. It's what you do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, everybody else can get over all day, you know, doing this and doing that. But when you try to do it, then it's a problem, you know. Then you get in trouble.
my. Now you're saying something now.
Yeah, I always try to, you know, let them know that, you know, don't follow, don't be a follower, be a leader. You know, and know God got you. That, you know, and that's how, you know, that's why I can travel thousands of miles and know that I'm all right, like with nothing.
It's yeah, like you yeah, yeah, you way. You will. Yeah, you are a traveler at that. You definitely take off and travel in a minute. And that's outstanding to know that. I see why your confidence is in it, because you say, hey, I'll take off and just hit the road and just know he has me covered. And that's great to be able to have a testimony like that. You know, and I just believe that, you know, we got people that's on the panel right now that has that testimony of being into some things and now been free. And we just love what the Word of God says now. And if you don't mind me sharing this, you know, it says, we then who are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak. So there are people that are, you know, out on the outside right now that just don't know about how good God is, and they don't feel like they have a testimony. Because me, myself, I haven't always had one. Because I didn't trust God. I didn't know anything about him, but I was told that I had to try him for myself, and so I did. Glory to God. So the floor is open, and we thank you again for calling. We want to ask anyone that's listening to what you were saying, do you have anything to say concerning that, being in dangerous situations, and God brought her out, is what she said, and she's been faithfully just applying it in her life because he have her covered. Oh, man, that's outstanding. I'm sure there's some witnesses that can identify with that. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So that does sound like, to me, according to the scripture, that under his guidance, you're covered. And he will not let no iniquity take and have dominion over you. That's confidence right there, isn't it? That you can go on and apply things in your life and say, okay, he's got me covered.
I already know it's going to happen for me.
That's all right.
I try to live the best, you know, the best life. I try to, you know, be good to people and treat everybody with respect. You know, no matter who it is, you know, it could be, you know, the lady that's sleeping by the gas station. You know,
my goodness.
I mean, me and her could be sleeping. I could be sleeping in the car, and she could be sleeping on the ground. But
wait a minute, hold it. You say she's your what?
she's your my equal.
So you say you sleeping in the car and she's sleeping on the what?
On the ground.
Ain't that all right?
She's still my equal.
Man,
she's still my equal. I can offer her, you know, and she'll be proud and be like, I'm all right, you know, I'm good.
My goodness.
That's
all right.
That's just phenomenal, you know, that how strong, you know, we as a people are.
You know, that's confidence, and that's something that I am encouraged by when you said that. You said the sister was your equal. My goodness.
Yeah.
Because she was in the car asleep, and she was on the ground sleep, she still was your equal. God is no respectable person. That's basically what you're saying. And how awesome is that? Praise God. You have to notice God got you covered. Glory to God. Amen. Hey, Outcast and our sister Diane, I heard that what she said, and that sounded like to me what 3072 was talking about when she came getting ready to get off from work just the other day.
Yeah.
And she seen, is that right, Sister Diane?
Yes,
she talked about that. And I tell you, man, they say the compassion just flourished up when she knew that this person needed some assistance and she couldn't go on further to where she was going for thinking about that could have been her. In other words, yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. I liked it.
Compassion.
Talk to us. Yeah, that's compassion. That's what it's all about. Is having that, and if you got it, you can apply it. But if you don't have it, you won't be able to apply that.
You're right.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah. Talk to us about that, Sister Diane, you know.
I have a question. I love hard, and some people say I wear my heart on my sleeve.
Right.
But that's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. You're going to spill it out for them?
Yeah, I would rather it like it is than to change.
Because
you're very bitter and angry within your own soul and don't even understand why.
My goodness.
And that's the problem, because that'll keep a frown on your face and a smile on someone else's. That was busy.
Yeah, he is.
Very busy. And I think he rescued you with that frown and that smile, because love outpowers hate every day, all day long.
Yeah, and if that wickedness, I'm sure that's what he is. He's always trying to see us down. And that's why he said he would rather for us to be down, but God is the lifter up of our head.
That's right.
And so when we have that heart and desire to have that compassion, you know, I think we was talking about it last Tuesday about how Jesus himself had that compassion. And then when we get a taste of that, and we was talking about sharing it with others, and someone may shun you, you see, that is something that you might want to consider whether you can handle that or not. Because it's like you bring it forth, the joy, the love, the compassion, and then someone just like, I don't want to hear none of that. What do you do, Sister Diane?
If they sometimes we know who we're talking to and sometimes we don't. So if they don't want to hear, the most you can do is leave them alone. Because
okay, now I like that.
Pray for them. You can pray for them on your own.
Uh-huh.
They don't need, some people just don't want to be talked to. And and despite the fact you are who you are and they don't know anything about you, you don't, may not know much about them, and some of them you do know. If they don't want to be bothered, leave a person alone, because you don't know what's going to trigger them.
That's right, and that's the beauty of it. When you realize that you was reaching out, and when they decided that they was not willing to hear, then you leave them to be. So you have done your part. And so when you walk away, do you carry that with you all day long and feeling bad, or do you just say, okay? The word outcast says, shake the dust off your feet. Is that what it says? Something like that? You know, you've done your part, like, you know. Okay, keep it moving. So I think that's beneficial. That's what the sister was saying earlier about keeping it moving, because when you wear compassion, as Sister Diane was saying, you know, she just didn't put the tag up there and say, hey, look at this tag. It says, I'm full of compassion. And you said, Brother Outcast, it's about that I wasn't trying to get no brownie points or anything like that, but I do appreciate what the Lord has done for me, so I can't stop walking it. You understand, and talking it, even though I'm not trying to get brownie points, but it still has become a lifestyle now. And I think it was so amazing that Brother Outcast said, I even had some things that happened, man, that shocked me. You know what I'm saying? So how did you just say, I don't want you to carry this out? You know, when it surprised and shocked you, that's a joy for somebody to hear, man.
Come on, you get up.
Better believe it.
Yes, sir. So it sounds like to me that we should press on. That's what moving on and keeping it moving is all about, is being able to do it. And listen to this, if you will, my brothers and sisters. The Word of God says, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. My goodness. That righteousness, the righteousness of our testimonies is everlasting. That means the testimony has to stay with you. And give me understanding that this is a part of life. This is something now that I should not be ashamed of. And that's what I think the people in the church should not do. If they have a testimony in the church, shouldn't they wear that when they come out? Or should they say, no, I'm going back into the world. I can't let people know that God's been this good to me. What do they do? I mean, man. So it's beautiful, brother. This is a beautiful dialogue, you know, with the time drawing close. But we're right there where we need to be right now, and that is walking and practicing this new way of life that we haven't always been walking in. And that's another thing that I like to put emphasis on, if we can just put this on the floor. When you're in your own area, as far as whatever side of town you're at, and you have to go into the store, to the gas station, walking down the street, I mean, you know, and when the word says, this is the day that the Lord has made, he tells us to rejoice and to be glad in it. How is it that you can be glad in it when someone just came up and just literally just started something with you? How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? And you know they're starting it. You know they're trying to get you off your square, if you will. What do you do?
Let me
back it up with scripture. I want somebody to say something to me about it. I'm gonna back it up with scripture, and then I want somebody to say something to me about that now, because we need to hear this. Remember that you got your own steadfastness, and the word tells us, you say beware. Beware means to do what? Is it to say watch out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? So I'm letting you know this. Getting ready to tell us, say, beware. So it's telling us that someone just may come into your arena to do all that they can do to get you off your square. So
well,
what do you do
when one
says,
thing I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
One thing I've learned is, like, you know, I don't have to be the baddest person in the room. You know,
okay.
You can be the best, the baddest. I'm
okay.
Very sorry that I bothered you.
That's how
humble I'm gonna get. Because you know what? I'm not gonna get it. I done seen so much in my lifetime that I'm not about to get into anything with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and some
that.
People you just really have to feel sorry for. Because it's not you that they want. You know, it's just that you that they feel that they can attack and feel better about themselves. You know, so
man.
You know, in the meantime, you know, when you come at me, you know, listen, I'm sorry.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
For sure, dude, because I wasn't able.
That was awesome. What did you say, Sister Dan?
Yeah, it is awesome, because I was not able to contain myself sometimes.
so that means
got Mama
so
Diane
that means,
started now.
Yes.
I ain't gonna lie, I was not able to hold it back. Get the
that's
hell
right.
out of my house and keep it down.
Yeah. See that? That's what I'm talking about. So it's ways that you have to confront that.
Well,
and,
like you said, maybe I ain't supposed to let them get the business there, but all the time I'm flipping flesh too. There, hold on.
Right.
You can only do and say so much.
Yeah.
When I know I've been biting my tongue to try to pacify you and you in the wrong, why?
Yeah, and that's kind of tough, I'm sure. That's what I'm hearing right there.
Yeah, because that's kind of hard for me at times. I ain't gonna lie.
Right. That's okay. that's what we need. We need truth and realize how to deal with that, because let me continue to say what it says. It says, you know, unless you, in other words, beware unless you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked. And we know that it's the wicked that's coming to do that. And so, as you say, if you fly off uncontrollably, then that's when the enemy, the wicked one, has stripped me from my steadfastness. And so I can relate to what you're saying. And so I had to get another practice in, because I said, man,
well,
it don't take but a moment. You know, it don't take but a moment. I think this is what's happening out in the world with these guys that's not practicing what we're practicing. They just fly off because they have a gun. And the other guy may have a gun, and they're already just carrying the gun because of whatever the reason they're carrying it for. And then suddenly something take place and they fire their gun on one another, which is what has happened. This is something the thing I'm talking about. This has just happened. And I'm wondering, how are we going to be able to do something about that unless we just spread more love and continue to reach out and say, in the church, for the people who have the love of God in them, come on out to church and give it to some of the people that are standing out. You know, just encourage them. Just do something, because we have to live this testimony. See, we have to live this testimony according to the word, that what we read earlier, it become a lifestyle. Is that right? So that means we have to practice it. We don't know how to do it, is where I'm coming from. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to practice it and see how I can handle it. Because I walked away from a lot of things, my, that I didn't want to walk away from. I didn't want to walk away from it because I wasn't used to walking away, Outcast. But I had to learn how to walk away from it and say, man, how did I do that? How did I walk away from that? And it was
a
practice.
Thing when you can walk away.
yeah. I like that. I like that. But Sister Diane just gave us something.
Drama with nobody but anyone, but it is what it is. So sometimes,
Yeah, you're right. I like that what you said, Sister Diane, because, you know, what we know, Brother Outcast, now, we know you keep it real at all times. Excuse me, that's what we love. But I'm thinking about the practice of it, though. It says, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. So it makes me think, man, I got to practice this, because the wicked one may come in at any moment trying to get me off my square, and I got to beware of that. Yeah, that's beautiful. I like that. We had a twofold situation here. Sister Diane saying, let's get my fly off the handle on this one now. And then I heard my sister say, Nicole say, that, look, you might be puffed up right now, but I'm going to walk away and leave you hanging. I'm not getting ready to let you cause me to get off into something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going to be hard for me to get out of. Isn't that amazing?
I got bigger things to do.
It is.
Oh,
and I be sick that maybe I need a little help or something, because at times,
yeah,
I don't know how you feel or how your day been or what you going through.
That's right. You trying to be humble
and humble them and humble yourself, and they want to show out like the devil they is. Okay.
Right.
And I know you don't let the devil in you take the bejesus out of me. I got that part. But sometimes I had to hold the...
It's a practice, that's all. And I think we can learn a little bit out of what you said even more now, because I'll be right there with you, Sister Diane. I would be.
I'm a vanilla wafer.
I work
because
on it. I try. I mean, I have done that. Handle. I'm not that type of person, because, like I said, I'm a compassionate person. When you pick at me and you keep bothering me and you brought it to me, are you kidding me?
That's
to
defend
myself and my own honor.
But, you know, Sister Diane, you got to always...
Now, you ain't going to make no coward out of me. And if I am
Sister Diane, you got to always believe that you're a winner, You got to always
believe that
you're a
winner, because God got my back.
Yeah.
So I let him deal with most things. I don't have to use physical to get my point across. I never said
that's
that.
Right.
Not a violent person, but I will use some verbal words that they may not like.
Go ahead, man. Hey, we got to see the realist now. I'll tell you that now. Most definitely. Glory to God. Yeah. Okay, when we get back, we got another break getting ready to come up, and I know when we get back, we will talk about, as the Spirit lead us, you know, we know where we are right now with the being aware of what the wicked could do and attempt to do for us, but we got something else we put on the table after we hear another song, because we know we serve our own time God. Is that right?
That's right.
We're going to go and get us another break here and come back, and we'll put something else on the table concerning our testimony. Glory to God. It's been interesting up until now, and we will press on.
I got you.
And keep it moving, glory to God, as we were told. And keep in mind that this is this is what learning is all about, getting to know how to deal with even the attack of the enemy when he's doing it intentional. Glory to God. Amen. Mm-hmm. So once we hear again, about 60 seconds worth of a break, we'll find out exactly what we're talking about when we get back. Let's meditate for a moment on that thought. Glory to God. Awesome, I know that. Awesome. So if we can get us a break in there right now, we'll be ever so appreciative of it. And if not, we would continue on and press on as we have been doing. Glory to God. Matter of fact, we would carry on now because the break didn't come in. And let's go here to a particular location.
I'm in the call. Nice to meet you. They call me Lee.
Are you saying something? Somebody saying something? Okay, listen to this and then tell me what you think about this. And I know my brother Outcast would be able to elaborate on it. And then we'll go around and let Sister Diane come in, if you will. And Sister Nicole, if you desire to say something shortly after. But Outcast is going to be presented to you from the beginning. Is that all right, brother?
Yes, I can hear it. I'll elaborate on it. If I don't get it all, I question.
Okay. All right. Good news. In the book of 1 John, the first chapter, it talks about when it says, if we confess our sins, say he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess, should we be looking for him to be true to what he said, or should we doubt what the word is saying to us? Because sometimes some people may not take this as it is written. And I just looked at it and seen it in there in verse 9, if we confess our sins. And then the very next thing it says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I mean, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? And then he said the cleansing would come after that. So talk to us about that. Should we take him at his word when he says he'll forgive us our sins, or is it just for one thing? Should it be for everything because he said it? Should we believe it and take him at his word?
If we confess our sins, stated, you know, that is God. He's a forgiving God.
Yeah, right.
What he say, he will do, he will do. Unlike man would say, okay, you did, and it's over. With man, it's never over. With God, if God says it's over, it's over. If God says again, if God says end, it end. You know, what is written is true.
Okay.
So God's word is God's word. I take God's word over man's word because man don't have the compassion to totally forgive. You know, they'll throw you a lie. Okay, you gone on this right here and all this washed away. No, man washes nothing away. Only God.
Man, that's amazing. That is amazing. You say he'll wash it all away.
That's right.
And so that means that he just said he's forgiving you. It's done when he said. That's basically what you're saying. Okay,
exactly.
I like
but
that
does not mean. That does not mean that you continue doing what he has forgiven you for. You know, I do understand that some habits, you know, are not, a lot of people can't stop habits in one day. It takes time.
Right, right.
But if you had a strong faith in God, you know, it'll all go away. It'll dissipate. And as long as God knows that you're trying, hey, he's there for you. You know, but once you give up, you know, you want to go back into that rough, faded activity, you'll turn back over.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. And that's what I wanted to put emphasis on is that He'll work with you when he's in you, and then the cleansing comes after that. So, yes.
Right.
So, yes. So, Diane, you know, talk to us about what you think about that.
I know my God is an old-time God. He's a forgiving, loving God. And he knows we're going to make mistakes. And me personally, forgiveness, I know he forgives. As long as I ask. When I ask him, you can't just say it. You got to come wholeheartedly because he'll break it down to a point. Don't fall on your knees at some point in your life. You're gonna You're going to actually have a conversation with my father and my grandfather. That's God and Jesus. You would actually have a whole conversation. Because you can get caught up in something that just puts your heart and shatters it. You don't have to ask for the help, and it came from be within people itself. It's got to come from a higher being.
Yeah,
it's
got to come from. Yeah, well, that's great.
From a higher being, and you better believe. Because if you don't believe, it's not going to happen.
If you don't believe, it's not going to happen. So that means you're going to have to believe that.
You
got to
have your
beauty of it. Yeah, yeah, and take him at his word. That's what Brother Outcast is saying, and take him at his word.
Yeah, I know what he's saying, and I agree with him. He made a promise.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, you know, forgiveness is big.
Can't do nothing without God or Jesus, and that's the truth.
So forgiveness is big, correct? Okay, we know that forgiveness is coming from him.
They came back from the car that night. They ain't all the people that we got fighting that night.
Yeah, I hear some feedback. But anyway, this is where we're going to go at with this. I like the part where it says, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So that means there's a different practice. You see, what we start to practice is his righteousness and follow his order in his. When he order our steps, that means that he'll work with us. He'll work with us until, you know, the change takes place. And that's where the testimony come in at. That's why I wanted to get back to the testimonies, but in order for me to have a testimony, I have to realize that once upon a time I didn't have that. And now that I do, I shouldn't be ashamed of it. I should continue to press on and walk it and talk it, because some people are not going to want to hear. So I shouldn't let that cause me to deviate from it. And knowing that this is something that God is saying, I forgave you, you know what I mean, for all your sins, I'm going to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. And I'm like, man, that right there is a powerful order there. So if I just stay up under that order and don't let the wicked one strip me from that, because I think returning back to that reprobate mind, I think that's what Brother Outcast was saying, that right there, it's like God got his hands off of it at that point when you turn back to the reprobate mind. Man, so I don't want to turn back. I just want to, I heard Sister Nicole say, keep it moving. Yeah, so let's talk about that, the cleansing. How do I get the cleansing when it haven't taken place as fast as I wanted? Do we think it's going to come? Because he forgave me already. Now I got to hold on for the cleansing to take place. And he may not come when I want him to, but he's always what, on time? Is that right? He's an on time God. So let's talk about him being on time versus when we know he forgave us, but yet still we're still doing whatever it is that we're doing. Should it be fair to say, or could it be fair to say, that we are waiting on his order? Because if he forgave you, there's no need of me trying to rush and do things my way, because he already said, look, I forgave you. I know you don't know how to change. I'll work with you. Just keep following my order and walking according to how I order your steps. Somebody talk to me about that. And you know, it's not easy to do that when you're amongst people that's doing things out in the world, and the world has a certain way that they live, and it's either you join in with the world or you keep striving on that straight and narrow road. I mean, somebody talk to me about that.
I think
so
I can.
Off of it. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I know that, you know, after my son was murdered by the police, I was raised not to hate, but I found a certain fear in me that made me and it's like a thin line because I was shredding hate and confusion with anger and pain. I never seen so many police before as I had after that, and I had to take, and I thought about it, and I said, this was God's son before he ever became yours. And this is
Lord,
what I, even in my darkest hours, I was hollering and crying.
Yeah.
And I think God fixed it like that to prepare me to hold on. Help is on the way.
Yeah, glory to God. My
and
goodness.
So, and that's what I decided. I mean, I don't know if I decided or he. I know my father said, help is on the way. I don't know how I did some of the things I was able to do. And I thought about that, too. I said, he was carrying me. He set the soldiers up, and when he fell, he wanted to pull them away. He pulled them out of my life, and I felt like I was deserted for a little while.
Man,
I stand back up on your feet again, because God still got you. And he still has me, even right today, and I thank him for that.
My goodness, that's awesome. That's well said. I mean, that's beautiful because that hatred, you know, flourished up, and it really wasn't
you.
I
didn't know it was hatred, Pastor. I didn't know it was hatred.
Right,
and then
right,
I
exactly.
Say,
you know, because it really wasn't you. You know what I mean?
And even today, I get a little angry when I hear about police, and I had to think about some of these young men just strictly out here to help. It's not every one of them.
No,
and I
sure,
think
without a doubt.
And so many, whether somebody was having a baby from my house or anything. They come in knee deep. I'm like, damn, they like somebody killed somebody else.
My goodness. But it's interesting that you said that. And what I find so interesting is that it really wasn't you. The hatred wasn't really you. It just flares up because of what happened to your son, and which I continue to say,
sir.
You know what I mean? My condolences goes out to you because I haven't experienced that, but I do understand one thing about when that occurred. You know, I look at the situation and I can often wonder, you know, what it's like with someone that experienced that, because I just happen to have some people here in this city that experienced that not too long ago.
My worst enemy, but I know that they were proven wrong. He was proven to be right. Glory to God, because it didn't happen. It didn't have to happen like that. But it did. One of very few that was fortunate enough that God said, no, this would not go unnoticed.
Okay. So there was a learning from that. And so you know you have compassion on anyone that has to deal with that type of situation.
Yes, sir.
You know, praise God. Strong, powerful testimony within itself, just knowing that you sharing that with us. And I'm sure someone can get something out of that. You know, to know that that love that you have is still there. That compassion that you have is still there. You know.
Yeah.
So, So we're drawing close. I mean, the time is just winding down, and you know, we're having us a time on this night. And, again, we thank God for Pastor Dockery and all that he's striving to do. But in his absence, we just lift him up and just encourage him to continue to do what he's doing. We have not so many minutes left, but the little time that we do have left, we're going to keep on keeping on. And let's go back into something that I believe that the scripture says, and that when we're talking about the newness of life, when it says that the newness of life, that means that there must have been a lifestyle of, when it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creation, old things are passed away. It says, behold, all things become new. How do we separate the newness of life from the oldness of life? Because they both look alike. I mean, they both actually look alike. You go into the world and you see the world's way for 7 days. But then you go into the spiritual realm. You know, some people go into the church and they see, you know, the difference for 1 day. But they both look alike. How do you deal with that? Coming out of the church for most people, and then coming to the world and see the world is carrying out what they're walking. They're not ashamed of it. How do you stand, you know, in knowing that the world have to carry it out like the world is supposed to carry it out? But how do the people that spirit feel, how are they supposed to carry it out? You know, do you walk up rightly before the ones who are not, or do you simply join in with them for that moment to just be able to get along? Say, well, let me just enjoy what they're doing for this little moment. You know, do I do that, or do I keep being the witness? Because the testimony is you being a witness. Is that right? And he said it's everlasting. So what does that mean? Break us off, Outcast. What does that mean, everlasting versus taking that moment and getting with the world's way and just say, hey, this is just going to be for a moment?
Well, I really haven't had that problem because, you know, a lot of them know me
and
what I'm about. You know, they go on and shy away from me. Because
okay.
They know that what I'm going to say, they really don't want to hear, you know what I mean?
I want to hear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Sister Diane says she want to hear, so he's hitting it up now. He's letting it be known.
Sister Diane. Hey, they don't want to hear nothing about Christ. They don't want to hear nothing about God. They don't want to hear anything about strengthening their mind through education and things of that nature. So, therefore, you know, they're out of, you know, I'm not in their league and they're not in mine. You know what they say, birds of a feather flock together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People that share the same interests and values and thoughts that I do, people that I endorse with, even on this radio program, you know, what we're talking about, the average person don't want to hear that, Diane. Don't you know? Do you agree?
My goodness.
Sir, I agree to disagree just for a moment. Listen to me out now, please. Because sometimes, thinking of somebody, the church as well, you can go to the house of God. And like my boy said, they've an old sinner like me. And somebody may say something that's supposed to be of the cloth, which may not be of the cloth, because you will be judged from the inside out, not from your appearance. You can go in there looking like a bum, but they don't know if you're the angel God sent to go in there because you needed some help. And you could have helped somebody else. And they could have broke your spirit down where they're supposed to uplift. The house of God is the place where you're supposed to go to cleanse yourself. Even if you don't know nothing about cleansing, am I correct?
If you don't know anything about You say if you don't know anything about Christ, you're supposed to go into the house of God and say what, Sister Diane?
Said, even if you don't know, there could be something that had led you to the church house.
Yeah.
And for the first time in your life, you decided to go. And someone in the church could have been talking about, ooh, what's wrong with him? He ragging, he this and that. And people do it every day today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's horrible, I think, because it detours you away, and a lot of people walk out feeling shame, some people feeling hurt, and like, why did I ever go there? And then they lose. They were seeking an answer, and they couldn't find it, because when they went in the house of God, the people that were supposed to be worshipers, some of them, not everyone, it happens every day, all the time, they did not uplift them, say, brother, what you need, can I help you, my sister?
Yeah, and then that's what Brother Alcab was just saying, too, and I like that what you said, Sister Diane, because he said he wasn't going to stray away from that, because most people don't want to hear anything about Christ, but he said he's going to bring that to them, and then it would be up to them to choose to say, I don't want to hear that. So he didn't, at that point, shun the way that he was carrying out being a new creation now, you know, walking
in
newness of life. And that's
like
what we, and that's what our practice should become. And it's not easy. It is simple, but it's not easy because you are already getting ready to get a chance to see people, you know, exercise that I don't want to hear mentality. You know what I mean? You ain't come with that again. You know what I'm saying? So it's something for us to look at
our
and say, but if it's
right,
everlasting. Yeah, if it's everlasting, that means that we got to continue this thing or either go back to the reprobate mindset, as Brother Alcaz was talking about.
He was right.
I'm
on that.
Yeah.
I hope I said it the right way because y'all know I got my own little way.
You did. Oh, yeah, you laid it down now. You laid it down, and that's the beauty of it. You know, you're always doing it. You're always
doing
that.
I have my own little way of speaking. It may not sound like everybody else, intellectual.
No, you're in the house. You're in the house. We expect that because we need it. We need it now. So it's always oneness. Yes, sir.
Yeah, look, let me give you a good example. You know what? Before I left prison, you know, without in prison, before I left, this little old young guy walked up to me, and he said that I was afraid to talk to you. I said, why are you afraid to talk to me? He said, because you're just real intelligent. And this goes back to what I was saying in a sense. People that share things in common, they tend to stick together, you know, or converse or talk to one another. You know, you got your ones that want to talk about pimping and dope selling and all that stuff. And then you got people, you know, that's in the education into the lower things of that nature.
That's right.
If I decide to go over there and try to talk to a crap shooter or want to be pimp when he get out, he'll tell me, man, you don't weigh me with your ass. I don't want to hear. So therefore, you know, you have your common ground. You're going to do, we have a free will. You're going to do what is right or you're going to do what is wrong. Going back to if you're in that reprobated activity, you're going to still in that reprobated activity. If you are a new creature in a new mind, you're going to go a certain way, you know.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I got nephews. Man, some of them don't want to hear what I talk about. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to hear nothing about education. They don't want to hear nothing about God, you know.
Right.
So, therefore,
right.
you know, they go and talk to one of the other uncles that down there in that crap with them. And I only tell you one thing.
Right.
Keep going that route, you're going to pay attention. Or you're going to be able to hear one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I hope. Yeah,
man,
but
that's all right.
I
but that's
Diane,
what we need.
Don't Diane, right? You know, I mean, we don't sign that.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, that's it. We just need more of that practice. That's why I become a practice. This is a new way of life. And when you don't know how to exercise it, you start practicing, and then just get to that point where you be amazed. You say, man, it's here. I'm even amazed. I heard that earlier, what you said, brother. And so this is why it's important to recognize it's only a practice because I haven't always known how to do it.
But
and then someone that's watching you on the outside would be able to say, I remember when I used to not even want to hear what you were talking about because I knew you was going before you said somebody even knew what you were going to say. But now I just can't wait to get over there by you just to hear what you get ready to say. You know what I mean? That's saying a lot, man, because that's helping somebody that didn't have the strength to open up at that time, but they realized that they did hear something that was so positive that they just couldn't handle it, but they all of a sudden started to draw closer, man. That right there should bring forth a joy to know that the person didn't do that because they just, you know, didn't want to hear it, just they didn't know how to hear. And then they learned how to at least say, okay, let me just humble myself and just try this again. Man, that's awesome.
You know what I was told before, and you know what? I have a niece.
What's that?
My other niece for her. She told me, she said, sometimes you can't give people the remote control to you. Meaning don't let them take you out of where you want to be at. I'm not the remote control. What you talking about? So she's old. And she's older than I am. Not much, but she is. And there's still times today. I said, I'm not giving you the remote control to me. I'd be surprised myself sometimes. I'm not going to let you take me there because I can leave. Or I can go home and not keep my remote control button to myself. That made sense to me after a while. If you let people push your, you giving them that power that they don't deserve.
Giving them the power.
I understand what everyone's saying, and like I said, I say things in a different way, but that's how she brought it to me. Don't give them the remote control to you.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. You know what I mean?
I like
basically,
that,
it's genuine.
Sometimes when I get upset, and when I say it, sometimes I use bad choice of words on some folks when they take me to pushing my remote control, and I done gave them control over it. I had to take it back.
Yeah, you got to watch that remote that control, because when you get to that control part, that means that you got to go on what they say.
Oh,
you know?
Glory
to God. Or not only what they say, on what they do. So praise God. I mean, this is a great dialogue, and the time is winding down. We're getting ready to go into the time of giving everyone a chance to say something concerning the testimony and how we've talked about it and how it can benefit others. And it's been great. I just appreciate everybody who called. And for those who was able to tune in and just to listen, we thank God for them as well. And Pastor Dockery will be back around on the next round, and we would have him back guiding us and leading us through the Spirit of God. But in the meantime, we're going to ask you, Sister Nicole, are you still on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, so we want to give you a chance and thank you for calling in and for what it is that you had to share. And we're going to give you, a minute, because we get off at 8:30. We'll give you a minute to share something with us concerning your testimony. And then we'll go to Sister Diane, and after that, we'll let Brother Akash carry us on out. Glory to God, in that order. Talk to us about briefly.
Okay. Living this kind of life gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by.
My Lord.
Living this kind of life, everything new and the old has passed away.
Glory,
happy days are here right now. I got a new direction, and I'm happy. Oh,
glory.
Yes, I am. And from now on to my dying day, I'll be living for Christ. No more walking on sinking sand, for Christ this solid rock I stand.
Yeah,
happy
praise
days
God.
Are here right now. I got a new direction, and I'm happy. Oh, yes, I am. From now on to my dying day, I'll be living for Christ. Thank you.
Glory.
Beautiful.
Praise God. Yeah, mighty, mighty, mighty beautiful. We appreciate that, Sister Diane. Put the stamp of approval. That's beautiful. Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead, Sister Diane. We appreciate you for saying that to her.
Yes, she has a beautiful voice, a humble voice, and I like that. And I'm still glad. All you brothers, take time out to listen to Miss Diane when she called the radio station, because it helps me, and you guys help me to understand different sides of all walks of life, and that's all right with me.
Glory to God. We praise God for you, Sister Diane. Continue to call in. Amen.
Well,
Brother Akash, man, you got the last say, brother. We want you to take us on out, man, and
during the conversation, I was thinking about Christ, when Christ said, don't cast your pearls before swine. That kind of hit me, that was kind of on my mind.
Yeah.
It kind of hit me.
That's awesome. That's awesome, brother.
Don't cast your pearls before swine.
My goodness, that's a great reminder, brother. We needed that now. That's the other word. Don't waste it, man. Good God Almighty. How awesome was that? Man, it's been great. I tell you, we just know it's been mighty good, man. I like that. Don't cast it. That we know we don't need to waste what it is we have to offer, but be willing to have it, to render to others, but make sure don't let it get you down once you put it out there, basically, is what that really means. But you never know what you put out there may fall on good ground, but just in case it don't. Don't waste your time by thinking you've done something wrong, glory to God, when you intend to do what's right. That's a practice
That's right.
Glory to God. Amen. So with that, thank God. We thank God for the assembling of ourselves together. The Word of God said, where there's two or three gathered together in my name, touching it again, he said that he would be in the midst of us. And he was here on this night, and we just bless God for how it was carried out. Amen. And I'm pretty sure Pastor Doctor, when he gets back, he will let you all know how pleased he was with you all calling in. And I want to thank you again. And it was uplifting to me as well what we was talking about. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Until we meet again, be encouraged, because God got the right order when we follow his way of doing things. Amen.
No, you come right here. Watch the other.
Praise God.
Thank you.
You gotta come around here.
I got you.